Good afternoon, everyone, or if you're in the West Coast, good morning to you. Today is Friday, October 27th, and welcome to our second session of Security in 45. Andres, I can't believe it's been a month since our last session. But anyway, each of these sessions in this webinar series is going to focus on unique security challenges in the industry, and we want to talk about how to stay ahead of the game. No slides, just good conversation. That's the motto for the show. And again, we invite you to enjoy this however is best for you in terms of consuming. So if you want to watch in, listen in on your headphones from your lunch break, gym, a walk around the neighborhood, whatever. I hope you enjoyed the last session on firewalls. And if you missed that, check out the recording. It really covered some great information about the evolution of Cisco's firewalls all the way up to the latest and greatest in firepower. Andres, what's on the agenda for today?
Well, I'm very excited to be here after 1 month. This is super awesome. Today we have a really nice discussion about XDR. So I know everybody's excited about it. You know, we've been hearing so much about it for the last few months. And today we're joined by three incredible and talented and experienced security experts. So I'm super excited about that. I know we have Brianna. She's the director of product management for XDR. We have Nate Austin. He said we shouldn't call him a legend, but we know he's a legend and a technical solutions architect. And then we also have Matt Robertson. He's a distinguished technical engineer. Now, the three of them bring a lot to the table, and this is going to be, the intention is going to be a very relevant security conversation, and we couldn't be more thrilled to get it started with you guys. So welcome.
Thanks, Andres.
Brianna, I think the first question, I'll kind of direct it to you just to start it off, and then anyone can just chime in. But, you know, XDR, you know, what does that mean to the industry? Maybe not Cisco specific, but just when someone hears about XDR, what are we talking about there?
Thanks, Mike, and thanks again for the opportunity to be here today with such esteemed colleagues. I think it's a great question, and it's a great question not because people don't know how to break out an acronym, but because the breaking out of that acronym has been interpreted so broadly over the last five at least years, and that it's really important for us to take a pause and think through what XDR should mean for us today. So I will start by breaking out the acronym. It stands for Extended Detection and Response. And it's really important to think through those three words almost separately and then what they should mean coming together. So when we think of XDR, there are other letters or words that have come in front of the DR previously. Endpoint detection and response for EDR, network detection and response for network, and so forth. And threat detection and response, or detection and response and hunting, is not a new concept at all. The way that we do it, the way that we have to do it, the way that we respond to adversaries has changed over the years and has forced an evolution of our processes and then the tools. But the tools have not always kept ahead of the what is needed for catching these adversaries. So the extended is the first piece. It's how we think through extending that visibility and that detection capability through the entire environment. So not just looking at it from an endpoint-centric perspective, even though endpoint telemetry and endpoint detections are really rich and really critical into understanding really what's happening in an environment. It's about going beyond that. How can the email come into play? How can the network come into play? And some of the analysts out there right now are actually looking at it very much in that way. There's definitions from Gartner, for example, around it being a unified security incident detection and response platform that is automatically collecting and correlating data from multiple security components. IDC has a different definition, but it expands into saying that endpoint and network telemetry is critical in play and bringing those together in a same or similar correlated model. So that extension is key, and understanding how we extend through all of our vectors and all of our security components. And then I need to detect what's happening in my environment and be able to equally respond to that. So when we think about it today, XDR, our opinion, not just Cisco, but as practitioners, is that it's an expression of business needs. I need to be able to detect and respond in a meaningful way across my extended environment and understanding what happened there by correlating, not just aggregating that information together to really understand what happened.
Amazing. That's excellent. Yeah, and as you were describing that, just in my mind, I was thinking, if we have all this correlation together, and we're talking about, you know, the X, the D, and the R components, I'm just thinking about pain points that can be alleviated, and we'll get to those here in a little bit, but, you know, just I'm just starting to go through my mind about the time savings and, you know, the that nature of, you know, activities where we only have maybe one or two people running our SOC, for example. So thank you for that great answer there.
Yeah, thank you for that. And now we do have another question, and this one, Nate, I'm gonna start with you on this one. We've heard so much about it, XDR, in the past few months, but I guess our listeners and the people watching us today would like to know, why do we need XDR? And if I extend on that question also, what are the problems or challenges that XDR is going to solve for us today? If you don't mind expanding a little bit on that.
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, starting off with just kind of to tag on to what Brianna said, you know, the definition is so vague, right? And if you talk to, you know, five different people, you're gonna get five different answers on what it is and why you need it, right? If you talk to the identity team, you know, they're going to say, you know, it starts and ends with identity, right? You talk to an endpoint team, they're going to say it starts with the endpoint, right? Cisco is obviously a massive networking company, and we believe the network has to be foundational to that as well as all the other components, right? But I think we really need XDR because of the changing nature of the threats, right? We're not going to catch a threat with a single solution, with a point product anymore, right? The detection of malware isn't really reliable anymore. That the tools need to focus on the attacker, right? Not the actual, you know, files and destinations that they're going to, because they're using a lot more advanced, you know, TTPs, tactics, techniques, and protocol and procedures that they're using to try to evade traditional security tools, right? So we can't just look at, you know, the file hash on the system anymore and say, oh yeah, that's malicious, we need to block it, right? They're moving around that. They're using things like spear phishing, things like privilege escalation, you know, other techniques, network connections discovery, right? Those are things that a traditional tool may not catch, but when we aggregate all that data together and, you know, look at it from a more holistic point of view across the entire security environment that a customer has, that gives us a lot more chance to detect these sorts of events and bubble them up to the right people to take action on them.
That's good.
There's also, one more thing. There's also, you know, just, I mean, this is hard, right? I mean, being a security incident responder is hard work, right? There's a lot of turnover in the security space, right? Especially in, you know, tier one SOC analysts, you know, they're moving up to tier two, tier three, they're moving on to new positions, right? So being able to kind of augment what they can deliver and help them be more effective at their job, provide the tools for them to up-level their own skills and up-level the organization's response. You know, that's also what XDR is trying to do, right? We don't want them spending their time on things that aren't going to make a difference. We really want to bubble up the things that are going to make the biggest risk reduction to the enterprise.
That's a good call out. Actually, yeah, for all the things that I've seen about XDR, you know, super excited about all that visibility, all those things that we get to see with the tool. It's pretty cool. I will say that.
Just to add on to that, I think in my view, and as Brianna was, you know, describing what XDR is from the industry, and they, that quote unquote bubbling up effect, I mean, that was one of the main pain points I was thinking about, is just the massive amount of alerts coming from all these products and like, where do we start? And Brianna, you were talking about correlating data together. And I guess if we can do that, then we, to your point, Nate, we could really bubble up the stuff that's more important to us there. Especially for the
goal, right? The end goal of security isn't to close as many tickets or incidents as we can, right? The end goal is to catch the attackers, right? To stop the malicious traffic. So that's what we need to do, is make, you know, the most relevant incidents bubble up so that we can take action and respond to them effectively.
Yes, and Mike, you know, Nate and Matt have probably heard this example from me a million times and will be tired of hearing it. But to Nate's point, I use an example all the time that if I come home and I see that my front door is unlocked, right? I might think that that's a little weird because I'm used to locking my front door, but in and of itself, it's an alert that I would have to track down with no additional context and no information on letting me know definitively that as an asset in my environment, that door was definitely locked when I left. or context that somebody else in my house came in and out and failed to unlock it in between. So chasing that down would take a lot of effort, right? But if I now walk into my house and I see that it's not just that the door is unlocked, actually it wasn't even closed, right? It wasn't closed on the threshold. That gets a little weirder. I'm coming home, I'm like, I usually lock my door. I don't think anybody in my house would leave it completely open, even, you know, trying to be flush but open. That's a little weird. And still don't have any proof that anything happened, but I might cautiously walk into my house being concerned about what's going on. Maybe somebody's hurt. Is somebody broken in? As I move forward and I don't see anybody in the house, but I see something like my TV missing, now I have a lot more context to start to say, huh, well, last time I checked, we weren't moving our TV today. And I don't think that somebody would have walked out without it. And now I might even be more concerned that somebody's still in the house, but maybe I checked that out and nobody's there. The version of the story is with more information coming from additional sources of detail, I can understand that I likely have had somebody break into my house and steal my TV. And if I had something even more definitive, start to think like endpoint level telemetry, like a camera in my house where I can now go to the video and see it happening, I could potentially see somebody walking out of my house with my TV. And now I would know 100% what happened. But if I were just looking at those different sources, yes, the security camera might have given me that. But if I only had a camera in one part of my house, it might not show me how they got in. Right. So all of those little pieces together help me understand what Nate was saying, like quickly what happened. I'm a SOC engineer. Or an analyst. I don't have as much time to go through each of those individual items as maybe I once did, because there's thousands of them in a day. Putting all of that together and now having an understanding of a likely response. I'm okay to stay in the house because nobody's in it, but I should potentially call the police or at least my insurance company. That guidance is what we're trying to look at people receiving with XDR.
I'm going to steal that example. Unfortunately, in my case, my 8-year-old would have just left the door open and my dog would be running around the neighborhood. Like, that's what
you just have to augment it a little bit, Nate. Yeah. So my kid ran out and the dog went with them. Nobody was there to bark when somebody tried to steal my TV.
There you go. Yeah.
And, you know, in terms of the response part of that, it would be great if I could get notified that my TV was missing, because if there was an important sports game I was coming home to watch, I would need to know to go straight to the bar after we involved the police. So, and I will also like to use or maybe steal that example, because I think it outlines XDR pretty well.
I liked it.
Yeah. All right, Matt, we've covered XDR as a definition, general concepts of it, and the pain points it addresses. What about Cisco's involvement in XDR? How is Cisco taking an approach into XDR? I know there's a new thing called Cisco XDR. I'm curious how we, being Cisco, align with that industry definition.
So, I mean, that industry definition just kind of emerged as an idea. And as Brian was kind of saying, it's like, there's always been threat detection response products. Extended detection response conceptually was just like, hey, we need to make random detection and response better than it was. We extend it, it's better. So there's different ways you can approach that, which is we make an individual product better, which is what some vendors will do. But we at Cisco are like, hey, we actually have a lot of products, and then we can make each individual one better. Or what we could do is create a whole new product and call it XDR, and that's what we have. So Cisco XDR is actually a new product offer. A new product offer that is built upon downstream data sets. And then that really feeds into our strategy was like, we wanted to create a productivity tool for the security operations center. Our unofficial guiding principle was make every tier one analyst as effective as a tier two, which really just means get all of the appropriate data presented to the user in such a way that they can make decisions faster and more effectively. And that's what Cisco XDR is. It is a productivity tool. It is not new. It is on top of all the other products. And because we made that decision, it is a product on its own. It is not an enhancement to existing products. It's a new product. That also fed into our strategy on where the need to be open, in the sense that Cisco XDR integrates with products that aren't ours, aren't Cisco products. You know, like regardless
of what endpoint detection response product you own, you can get value out of Cisco XDR. Regardless of what network detection response product you own, you can get value out of Cisco XDR. Regardless of what firewalls you own, you can get more. Whatever we, and so we have a list of strategic integrations that we're going to curate and we're going to bring forward, and then there's the ability to build your own and all that fun stuff that you could do. But we're looking at, we're an open ecosystem. The XDR product is a thing that stands on its own. It is about providing efficiency to the security operations center. And so that was our first basically major decision. Product needs to be open. The other thing that we did is when we were looking at what does it mean to be extended detection response? What are the most foundational pieces of data that a security operator needs to do their job? The easy one was endpoint. It's foundational to security operations center. The other one that was really high on the list is network data. And not just firewall data logs, network data, meaning network logs, float net flow, flow logs, describing east-west communication in the environment. And we looked at our product space and we're like, hey, you know what, we're masters at network analytics already. We've got great product sets here, we've got great data. We know exactly how to succeed in this. And so we made network detection and response foundational to our entire product strategy, to our approach to XDR. You know, endpoint and network and firewall logs are foundational first-class citizens in Cisco XDR.
Outstanding. I think it's pretty important about the open portion of that, because I think original attempts at XDR didn't work that well. They're going to work within their own vendor, but nothing external. So that I think is pretty important. And then certainly, yeah, that's a great point about the network foundation there. Because Brianna, you were mentioning like at the beginning about maybe even bringing in, you know, email. And Matt, if we're really communicating across the network, I guess we're going to have a much better view just beyond just the endpoint. Like especially when it comes to correlating threats as they spread.
Absolutely. You know, email is a really good example of something. I was just talking with a customer about an hour ago, and showing them what XDR does, and they're like, oh, can you block the email that attachment came in on? I'm like, yeah, sure. You can work that out. Like, that's as a response. You know, like, here's the badge. Here, you know, the example I was talking through is the user had been, there was a phishing email that had gone in, they'd executed it, gone to a bad domain and all that. worked the investigation backwards. He's like, hey, now can we just block that email next time it comes in? Block that phishing. I'm like, yeah. That's the thing that we want to be able to do. It goes from detection backwards through to the original point of infiltration, and then, hey, let's prevent that from going forward. That's exactly it.
Yeah.
The response part is – oh, go ahead, Andre. I was just going to say the response part is key there because we're correlating all this data, but, you know, Brianna, you talked about that TV being stolen. If you could respond by automatically calling the police, or, Matt, your example, just automatically, you know, block that host or that email account, the response portion being key.
I was going to mention something very similar, Mike, on the response. The response is very key. And we've seen a lot of products out there that they promise that, you know, the response is going to be, you know, the main part of the product. But we haven't seen too much of that. And I think this is bringing a lot of value to the product just because, you know, we have multiple ways to respond, block that traffic, re-authenticate those ports. I mean, there's many things that we can do, and we'd like to see the action on what we see today.
Yeah, awesome. Andres, Mike, before we move maybe to the next topic, if I could just really quickly jump in on something you said. Mike, you mentioned, you know, what people were looking at for XDR previously and maybe what they might be looking for now. You know, I think it's important. Nobody's trying to trash what happened for XDR previously or what vendors who were really innovative in that space brought up and started thinking through. It's just a difference of what you need now and then, right? People purchase new cell phones. They purchase new cell phones because as much as I adore my BlackBerry, it probably wouldn't serve me in the way I think it would today. I have fond memories of it. I still want one, I'm not going to lie. But when I think through it, it wasn't going to do for me what my new phone will do. So you need to think through what Matt was just saying and what you were just saying when you're looking for an XDR solution. Like, don't look at XDR for what it was looked at 5 years ago. Look at it for what you need now and 5 years from now.
That's a great point. I really miss my BlackBerry.
I just remember jamming all those keys into that one little keypad. Yeah.
Did we just date ourselves?
No, it's okay.
We'll definitely have a few people on the cast will be like, "What's a BlackBerry?" And that gives them a Googling event for later, and then they can share something that we won't know. So it'll
there
be
you go. Yes.
Yeah. So moving on to our next question. I know we talked a lot about what it is. What is Cisco doing, how we approach it. But I guess the one thing that I wanna see is if we can see exactly who Cisco XDR is designed for. And Nate, if you don't mind going through that, and then, you know, we go through a room just to make sure that we get our perspectives and see who do you think XDR will be designed for today.
Yeah, sure. So I might have a little different perspective on this. I'm in the field, so I'm talking with customers, you know, on a regular basis, right? So I kind of hear their input as well as you know, what's what we think internally, right? And I've kind of heard across the spectrum, right? It's for a lot of people, right? I think if you are, you know, absolutely, if you're a customer that doesn't have a mature SOC, right? Then this is right up your alley, right? This is a tool that can really provide you know, a incident response kind of playbook for you. There's casebooks, you know, ability to kind of structure your response to an event and just correlate across multiple tools where you may not have the people that have the knowledge to do that without a tool that will help them accomplish that, right? So definitely, you know, with customers and users without a mature SOC will definitely see value from this product. And I think that this is actually the first solution, I think, really, that Cisco has had that really plays, you know, is designed for the SOC, right? In a way, right? Most of the other things are kind of targeted at the prevention, which is great. If we can prevent something from happening, we want to do that. But this is the first one where we're really taking a step back and saying, hey, you know, there's going to be stuff that's going to get through. We need to be able to correlate that and respond for you. But I've also talked with larger customers with, you know, really mature SOC processes. They have their own playbooks. They have their own automation and orchestration capabilities. So some of those aspects they may not leverage in the system, but there are some areas where it can still help, right? It can still, that kind of tier one, you know, SOC analysts that are constantly turning over, right? Maybe they don't have the SIEM experience to go and do the complex queries that are needed for some of those playbooks. Well, this can, again, help them, you know, look at some of those incidents from and prioritize them from an early standpoint. Threat hunting, right? They can still use it for threat hunting capabilities, you know, with the tool, right? So even if you're not using the full functionality, there's still some benefit for larger customers with mature SOCs. You know, non-Cisco shops, right? So that's another thing where, you know, in the past, you know, if you had Cisco products, great, they'd work together. We have native integrations with our solutions, right? But if you have a third-party solution, maybe those integrations don't work so well, right? You have to code something custom. Well, XDR is built with that in mind. So if you are somebody with, you know, Microsoft Defender, you know, endpoint, right? We can still enrich and we can add endpoint context to those incidents, you know, from those applications, right? If you're using Exabeam in your environment or Cyber Reason, we can enrich and decorate the incidents so that there's more information there for them. If you're a Palo shop, right? You know, you can actually automate and orchestrate responses from XDR to Palo Cortex. So a lot of different things. If you're CrowdStrike, we can create incidents. We can generate incidents based off of your endpoint, you know, that's a non-Cisco endpoint, and then pull in our network telemetry and combine those together to build an attack chain. So, you know, you don't have to be a Cisco shop to get value out of XDR, right? The security is a team sport. I think all vendors and, you know, we have to work together to, you know, our enemy is not other vendors. Our enemy is the adversaries, right?
Great point. I really like that last part because, yeah, preventing the threat is the key, and it really shouldn't matter which vendor or endpoint product you have. If we can work with them to kind of integrate that across the board.
Anyone in security, you know, we're in it to stop the bad guys, right? I mean, that's what we want to do, right? That's why I'm here, at least. So
excellent. Thank you, Nate. Now, in terms of Matt, in terms of like the integrations, and Nate kind of just touched on one, Microsoft Defender, but can you tell me a little bit about the native integrations that of Cisco XDR? I think for the audience, if you have an example of like a real life use case, that maybe something that Cisco XDR could detect in one product and maybe use another product to respond, anything along those lines, I think that'd be really cool to hear.
Yeah, so we have a number of native integrations in Cisco XDR. We took the approach strategically, as I mentioned, foundational means data sets like network and endpoint are able to provide data into the analytics engine. And we have a number that are in our near-term roadmap that continue to either provide data and/or enrich existing incidents. What we're really, really good at is detecting some, specifically in the network detection space, detecting things that you would otherwise have missed. So things like repetitive malware outbreaks, where you don't necessarily have an endpoint detection response product on every asset. So one of the reasons network is so foundational in my mind is everything is connected to the network, but not everything necessarily has an endpoint agent on it. By some stats, roughly 30% of assets inside of an enterprise might actually have an EDR on it. Other assets, printers, phones, OT devices, servers, et cetera, they might not have endpoint agents. And so one customer, this is a story from a few years ago, we were working with, had a repetitive malware outbreak. Same piece of malware, they'd find it kept popping up on AMP or Cisco Secure Endpoint, as we call it now. They'd get these detections, like, oh, we've got it, we'll clean it up. They were wiping assets on a regular basis. They were finding these detections that were showing up, but they never could figure out who patient zero was. We deployed, at the time, it was Secure Cloud Analytics, now foundational part of XDR, to collect network flow data, run analytics, see what was happening inside of the environment, and fairly quickly we found that the patient zero, or the source of this malware outbreak, was actually an old network-attached storage server that had been infected, and so there was no agent on it. It was just sitting there, had this piece of malware that kept going, sending its little payload around, and eventually ransomware, and customer had not having fun that with that particular outbreak. But patient zero was this old NAS server, which we just found because we were able to trace the network activity back to this one particular asset and remediate that outbreak. And this goes true for a number of different ways you want to look at it. Is there's the only way to sometimes solve the advanced threat is you need data from multiple different domains: network, email, endpoint, cloud. All of these are native integrations that we have, and the
And
ability
Matt,
to pull data, correlate a threat. Yes.
that's an amazing example of where Andres and Mike before were talking about the response piece as well, right? Because there's no response that's being taken on that NAS system because it doesn't have anything on it to do that. But by bringing that information together, we would be able to help orchestrate a response or at least guide a response, even if it was manual, to close that loop to stop that from happening so that that malware didn't keep getting accessed or propagated or popping up.
It's
And I think that's a
crazy.
great example about bringing in the importance of that network telemetry as opposed to just the endpoint. Like without that, Matt, it sounds like maybe that would have gone unresolved.
It'd go on for
Definitely.
years, is what would
Yeah.
happen. And
Yeah.
it's like
Yeah.
you can block it all you want on your, let's say, I'll use the 30% number, right? You'll block it all you want on 30% of the assets in your environment that have an effective EDR, but the rest of them don't for whatever reason.
And it's crazy how those devices are overlooked today. Like you don't think about it like when you start thinking about that strategy. So that's I think very impressive. All right, I'm gonna say something real interesting. We've been 33 minutes without talking about AI, and I'm about to break
You had to ruin it. We could have gotten to 34.
that record.
I guess the AI algorithm just kicked in and they're like, it's been too long since no one mentioned me. Time to jump
It
in.
always wins.
Actually,
Generative
I
AI
was at
LLMs. All right,
yeah,
here we
last week we went on a
go.
presentation that went 20 minutes without talking about AI. So I actually feel very happy about that. All right, so this question is for you, Brianna. I know you love that subject, and basically we want to know, and I think all of our listeners want to know, what is the role that we play in AI, that Cisco XDR will play in AI? I know Cisco as a whole has a whole story behind that, but what can you share about that?
Actually, Andres, you know, I'm changing my tune. I love the question, right? The practitioner part of me is still looking for my German Shepherd, another reference that people can Google every time I hear AI nowadays. But at the same time, we need to embrace the benefit that AI can provide. But I think what's really important is to think through AI is more mainstream conversation now, but that doesn't mean it's new. And it doesn't mean that there aren't types of AI that have been in place for a while or aspects to generating up to AI. So in Cisco XDR, Nate mentioned alerts and alert chains previously. That is not something that somebody is sitting there manually doing as your events come in. That would be insane, and we would never be able to provide you with an extended detection and response incident in a timely fashion. So alerts coming in from different sources and being chained together, and that correlation of did the event that happened on Mike's system and the event that happened on Andreas's system, are those both part of the same event, that being correlated together, is part of what we use AI for today. Also, for when we look at things like dynamic and automated responses, so our ability to say, here's a guidebook by which you can go through, and yes, that's static, but as we continue to move forward in the development of XDR, making that more dynamic and saying something as simple as, when I look at what has been presented, I want to guide you to take a response. Maybe that response is to quarantine a system. Maybe that response is to enact a quarantine rule on a firewall. And when we do that, what sort of context do we give you? Well, I wouldn't want to present you as an analyst who has little time and is trying to respond quickly and may or may not have all same levels of knowledge. I wouldn't want to present you with something that says block this IP when I'm not giving you an IP to do it with. And that's a really small example, but those can get much more complex related to what's in your environment and what assets would you be authorized to block and not block in the first place. So that's another way that we're leveraging that. It also is used to bring threat intelligence in. So not only to help create and combine threat intelligence, we leverage our Talos team and what they're bringing together for that, but a lot of processing of more basic level threat intelligence comes at an AI layer, but it enriches threat hunting in our investigations. So being able to bring that enrichment in and understand what is happening or could have been related to a hunt or a search that you have through your environment. And then when we think about why AI is so prevalent nowadays, we think of the boom that ChatGPT brought and showed people the cool things that could come out of something like a generative AI and what we call a chatbot style usage of generative AI. And without getting into too many technical terms, there's concepts behind that called things like large language learning models, where a model is simply learning. It could listen to Brianna speak all day and then try to understand not only how it would answer a question that you would ask Brianna, but how Brianna would phrase her question. What types of words would she use? How would she inflect upon that? So generative AI is not new. All Cisco products have had AI for a long time, and many of them are using things like large language learning models, including Cisco XDR. Matt mentioned email previously. That's definitely been using it. When you think about how people write emails, right? How do I confirm that the email that's sent from Brianna to Mike is from Brianna and not a business email compromise trying to trick Mike to do something because it sounds like Brianna? So when you think about things like that, that has a lot of that backend AI modeling built in it. And we will continue to assess AI and how to best use it and how to best present it in ways that's not just delightful for our customers and lets them interact the way that they would like to, but in ways that are meaningful.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah, we hear about AI so much, and many people don't realize that we've been doing AI for the longest time for many, many different things.
Yeah, and to credit in the industry, so have others, right? I mean, it's just something that is more relevant, I think, for common mainstream now that people may not realize. It's in everything that you do. You know, a large vendor that you may purchase a lot of things from online and might have a device in your house or on your phone that you talk to, that's AI in the background.
Yeah, it's just going off.
So what about, now the next one, and might have to speed it up just a little bit for the sake of time for these next couple, but what about Is Cisco XDR a SIEM? Matt, I'll give that one to you. Like, I hear that all the time. Like, cool, this is a SIEM replacement, right?
The answer is no. It's the short answer. That's the TLDR one. The longer one is... the fundamental difference is about what data and visibility into data. Cisco XDR is an analytics engine. It is a SOC productivity tool. The objective is analytics on top of data, to produce a detection, a prioritized detection and guided response to it. Whereas a SIEM's objective in life is to collect the data and provide that data to the user to build outcomes on top of it. We're focused on the outcome as opposed to on the data itself.
So would it be safe to say that Cisco XDR works with a SIEM? You basically
could have
two in your environment.
We are complementary in many ways.
If you had a dime for every time that somebody asked you that question, though, Matt, like, would you be able to retire by now? Or
yes,
short answer, yes.
I keep working just because that's like free money.
Right. or a dollar or a dime for every time someone's like, "What does XDR stand for?"
Right.
Oh, so many.
Well, thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you for that. Actually, we're running pretty short on time, so we're gonna fly through the next two questions, and I think this one's gonna be important. Our listeners are gonna be very interested on this one, and this one's for you, Nate. What is Cisco's plan for SecureX and Secure Cloud Analytics? If you don't mind, just going a little bit on that.
Yeah, sure. This actually came up in the Q&A as well, so very timely. So I think of XDR as really the evolution of both SecureX and Secure Cloud Analytics, right? There are components of both that are in XDR. The detection and analytics engine of, I think Matt mentioned this earlier, the detection and analytics engine of Secure Cloud Analytics is the backbone of XDR, right? If you are an existing Secure Cloud and Analytics customer, you are entitled to XDR. So we're converting everyone's accounts. You'll get an XDR tenant, and you'll be able to take advantage of some of the enhanced functionality that XDR can provide your organization. SecureX is a little different, right? So SecureX was kind of our first foray into an XDR space, right? I think that there was some benefits that SecureX provided around orchestration and automation capabilities that some users would like out of it, but it didn't really deliver on the, and it wasn't necessarily meant to, deliver on the full prioritization of incidents, right? So there's a lot more functionality in XDR than SecureX. SecureX has been end of life. It was a solution that was granted an entitlement to everyone who had a Cisco security product. But it is end of life at this point, which means that no new users are able to sign up for a SecureX account. If you do have a SecureX account, if you were using it, it will stay in place until, I believe, next July. But at that point, it will essentially cease to exist. So if there are functionality in SecureX that customers are using today, it's time to maybe look at what XDR can provide. Is that the right option? Are those use cases that we can address with XDR as well?
Good question. I think that's on a lot of people's minds. So thanks, Nate, for covering that. Brianna, I don't know how deep you can get into this, and we really only got about 30 seconds anyway before we move on. But is there anything you can tell us maybe that's up and coming for Cisco XDR? Like any like secrets or stuff on the roadmap?
Yeah, I think I could tap in a little bit. So hopefully people have heard about our Oort acquisition. If you haven't, it's in the identity threat detection and response space. So that piece is not secret, but what we can share is that up and coming, we're looking at bringing that into XDR to bring identity as a source into XDR and really be able to respond and provide those meaningful capabilities. So that's really exciting. Matt had mentioned the responsive capabilities, and we had talked about those guided responses, guiding people more and more towards being comfortable accepting automated response, so truly automated response. Hey, I'm going to lock the door, lock my robber in, and call the cops when I see the TV come off the wall, and being confident in doing that. Things like that are what we're going to try to continue to gain customers' trust in. And then more around AI. So you have seen certain things around guided assistance through hunting and through investigations and incidents. That's forthcoming as well. And I think we will leave it there for today.
Love it. Awesome. Awesome.
I want to see it.
Yeah, and I did get to see a little bit of Ort. Hopefully I'm saying that correctly. No, it was pretty cool. All right, so Andres.
Oh, Brianna, do you want to say anything about some certain changes that are coming out for endpoint integrations that might actually be in production today?
So Nate snuck it in earlier, but yes, let's call it out. So as we look at the integrations for what we're doing around correlated incidents, going beyond the responsive and the enrichment and hunting capabilities, our CrowdStrike endpoint integration that allows us to create new incidents or have those events be correlated into incidents is in progress and or deployed, to Matt's point. So you're hearing it straight out of the gate live. You should be seeing that ASAP if you are an existing customer or testing it out. And if you're not and you're a CrowdStrike customer, come on, have a conversation with us. We would love for you to see it.
I'm so glad we had this question on the agenda, Andres.
I was not expecting this.
This is great. Yeah, me as well. Now, that's one thing people probably don't realize about the show is it's not scripted. So I literally just did all learn all that information. So thank you. That's great. All right. So we're up on time, but we did have three really serious questions. If you could just, we're going to give you just each one. Just take 10 seconds to answer, and then we'll kind of summarize this up and we'll get out of here. Matt, I'm going to give this one to you and just in 10 seconds or less. What number is higher per day? The number of times you get asked what XDR stands for, or the number of cups of coffee you drink in a day?
The number of times they explain what XDR is.
Is it even close?
No, not even close.
Okay. All right.
All right, I'm going to go with the next one. And this is for you, Nate. If you could magically apply XDR to any routine of your life, what would it be?
I mean, I guess the prioritization and risk reduction like that XDR can provide you on incidents, I guess I'd apply that to like my to-do list at home. Like which, if I knock these things off, like which ones are gonna get me yelled at, you know, less by my partner if I finish these, right? So that's my risk score that I'm trying to reduce, so.
I love that.
Now, poking a little bit of fun at ourselves about how Cisco's always changing our names of all of our products and everything. Brianna, would you bet yes or no on whether Cisco will change the name of Cisco XDR within a year from today's date?
I would bet no.
Okay.
I would bet no, good. Especially if Matt and I are still here.
Okay, great. And
I'm it's too much work to change names.
It is.
Clear.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, it's always fun to poke a little self fun there. Andres, what do you say we recap this and get on our way here? I'll tell you my big takeaways for today. We started off with that industry definition. I'm talking about a unified platform where correlating incidents. Nate talked about bubbling the ones up that are important. And then we had several examples of taking automated or manual responses. And I liked Brianna's example about that TV thing. I think that's actually something I'll be using. Matt touched on Cisco's definition and how, you know, we're known as a network company. Why don't we use that ability when we're talking about this threat correlation and response? So we can go beyond just the endpoint. And in terms of solving problems, Nate, you talked about who uses Cisco XDR and just XDR in general for quicker detection, the remediation, the threat hunting. And you know, I really liked, again, that bubbling up so that we can just have some time back, especially for those teams that have just a couple people on their SOC. The native integrations are great. Matt, I think it's really awesome that we've taken an open standard approach. CrowdStrike right at the end, that little teaser was pretty cool. So that we can, to Nate's point, it's about stopping the bad guy. We're not, and it really shouldn't matter kind of what endpoint product you have. Those are the big takeaways for me. Andres?
Awesome, Mike. Thank you. In my case, I'm very excited about when we get to talk about AI, the artificial intelligence, when we get to talk about all those things, still I feel something that I need to understand more. And it's been there, kind of new, but it's exciting. So I always welcome that. The XDR versus SIEM capabilities. I know we get a lot of questions every day from customers on this one, and I think it was very clear the vision that we have with the products, and I'm very excited about it. Now moving on to some things that we may not see in the future that we're seeing today, SecureX and Secure Cloud Analytics. You know, what is their purpose in life in a few months coming? That was really good. And the other things, I wasn't expecting the teaser on CrowdStrike, so very excited about that. That's my take on the whole session, and just want to thank you all for taking the time.
Yeah, really big thank you, Brianna, Matt, Nate, for your time and expertise, and just generally the good you do in the security industry. Really much appreciated. Andres, next call, November 16th. Topic, securing the user and the endpoint. Registration for that is open, I believe.
Yes, it is.
Okay, all right. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the session of Security in 45. Stay safe and secure, everyone, and we will see you on the next episode. Bye.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Hi, everyone. Thank you.